Yeah, if there's any poet or bard or pop star or rock star alive that I'd like to meet, it would be Brandon Flowers. So got me to I've just been listening to I listen to music long after it's been published because I only find torrents. But so I'm listening to that concept album of Brandon Flowers or The Killers about his hometown, and it's really amazing stuff, really good stuff. He's yeah, but he talks. They talk. His town is religious, etc., and he talks about a higher power. And one of the people, you've got to listen to the album. It's really good. I don't know if it's called Quiet Town. I'll check, and I'll add it to the notes description. But it's the concept album from The Killers about Brandon Flowers' hometown. There's one guy talks about a higher power, and he says he comes across the higher power. He knows there's a higher power because he comes across it in the mountains. And I think nature is where people who are sensitive have any real sense of anything, any real promise in this universe, any sort of higher power beyond the obvious. But here's my point. That there's no need for a higher power. I mean, if the higher power can be reason, the higher power can be honesty, the higher power can be truth. And I think those are the, and compassion. I think those are the and compassion comes from truth and honesty. Because if you really are honest, then you have to respect all life and you have to empathize with all life. Even when you find it necessary to kill other life, and even when you have to have a love of freedom, even ironically when you need to curtail freedoms in order to serve the truth and justice and compassion and honesty. So the higher power to me is truth and honesty and intelligence, reason. That's the only higher power that people should be serving. And this is what Jesus talks about, the kingdom of heaven within you. It's within you. I think there's even a Brandon Flowers song that talks about that too. But anyway, it's within you. Whatever it is that's within you is going to be expressed outside of you. I wish I had time to edit and write, and I can't even write, remember. But what I'm, and geez, I may have to make the video again. Because insights come to you when you're not actually seeking them, or it's hard to explain, but my books do explain it. But most people who have had the greatest insights have worked really hard on something and then put it to the side and done something totally unrelated, and that's when the insight comes. So the insight comes not when you're ready with your computer open and the application open, and when you're ready to be inspired. It comes at the most inconvenient times, like now when you're half asleep, just waking up, doing something else, and then that's why you've got to quickly make a note of it. And that's the one of the real dialectic sort of things. The world makes you, but people are going to ask who made the world, and then they're going to say, "Oh, some supernatural being," and then you'll say, "Who made the supernatural being?" And then it's like the disc world is on a is the disc world rests on a turtle, and then they go, "Well, what does the turtle rest on?" And he goes on, "The turtle rests on another turtle." And what does that rest on? And they get, it's turtles all the way down. And the infinity loop, here's the thing about higher power is that within you, what is within you creates what is without you, outside of you. But then you say, "But I was made by the world. Why am I Marcus?" You say you're Marcus because of all the things that happened to you. But most of the, of the things that have happened to me have happened to other people, and they haven't had the insights. And so it's not fair, you say. You know, why should one person be born more intelligent or more sensitive, whatever word you want to use? And you might say Teague's bridle, you know, the world, everyone's born is equally sensitive, but because of what happens to you, you're forced to pay attention, or you have more time to pay attention. Being depressed offers you the chance to really focus, even though it can lead to despair and inability to focus on the things that people think matter, you know, the meaningless, trivial things of everyday things, like work and money and job and career and status, you know. When you're in despair, you lose sight of all those things. They become trivial and meaningless to you. And then you're able to see beyond those things, see what's under those things and to the left and right and above and behind those things. So it's sort of ironic, you know, in the real sense, that despair and depression make it impossible for you to focus on the things other people think that want you to focus on, like making money for them and being a good slave, you know, doing your job, filling your role in society. But it leaves space for the Zen sort of insights to come, you know. It lets you really focus on really small things. And so what nature does, when you're out in nature, you suddenly notice things you're not looking at before, because your mind is emptied of all the meaningless things, and you're faced with the moment now and the grandeur of nature. Even though nature is vicious and ugly and horrific, it's also gloriously beautiful. And it's tragic and all those sorts of things, and it's totally unfair and unjust and totally indifferent to the suffering of individuals, it would seem. At the same time, as I've talked about, you know, jokingly praying for a bag of sweets to appear in the garbage, and then 5 minutes later, the bag of sweets appears. If it did that every time, then I would feel more comfortable in this world, but it hasn't done that enough occasionally. But you have to be looking through the garbage for the sweets in order to manifest the wish of the sweets. I'm talking about the bag of sweets I found in Lasnamay. Anyway, yeah, I know it's really arrogant and narcissistic and all those horrible things to think that anybody should watch 1,400 videos that I made and read all my books, when there's so many other things people can do with their time. But what I can't say anything else other than you have to do that, and you should do that, and you need to get others to do that, because the higher power is, if the only higher power I can think of, if there's a higher power outside of us, then it's despicable. Or equally, the higher power outside of us is just like us. Yeah, it's selfish and indifferent, as we are now. Maybe we can inspire the higher power through our own actions. Yeah, but there's nothing you can do about a higher power that's outside of you, except hope you can gain its favor by, you know. And how will you know what it wants when you have all these charlatans misrepresenting it? So if there's a higher power that we have no control over, it may as well not exist. And, you know, there's nothing to talk about there, as Wittgenstein would say. But I don't think the higher power is outside of us. I think the world is a manifestation of, that we are the manifestation of will, and that will is us, and that we, and the Hegelian dialectic, the real dialectic, which nobody understands apart from Kant and Schopenhauer, believe they did, but I've never heard anything out of their mouths which suggested they did do. Not that I claim that I studied Kant, because I can't. You know, Kant is just the opposite of what I consider real philosophy. He's just muddle-headed wombat. Anyway, so I'm gonna have to make another video, but I'm trying to get my head back to the point where I had the insight. It's about the higher power being reason and your will, and that the will is manifest in the exterior world, which then manifests beings. But at the same time, it is the representation of the will of the beings. And when you get to read my books about rewriting the script of your life, you must read that book, Rewriting the Script of Your Lives. You must read all my books. Sorry, however narcissistic it sounds. Anyway, I've got to stop this video and start a new one.